Welcome to the Real Talk of Dental, where we pull back the bib and talk about what's really going on beneath the surface. Not just the charts, not just the systems. We're talking about the culture, the chaos, and the confessions. I'm Brandy Marzolino, and with 20 years deep in this industry, I am fresh out of patience for performative leadership. This is your space to laugh, cry, question everything, and maybe shout into a pillow between patients. We've got anonymous confessions, we've got call-ins, we've got ops room drama, and we've got the truth, served hot and a little too real. Think of this as your backstage pass to the break room no one dares to mic. Until now. Hi, and welcome to the Real Talk of Dental, episode one. I am Brandy Marzolino, and I am going to be your host, and I'm super pumped that you're here. For this first episode, I'm just going to share with you a little bit about myself and what you can expect from this podcast, and why the heck I called it the Real Talk of Dental, and why am I even doing this as a bit of a variety show? Well, let's dive in. First off, I'm here based in Grand Rapids. I live with my husband, Ian, and our precious, divine cat, Kelly. And if you've been following me for a bit, you know just how very much Kelly means to me. She is the light of my life, and I do believe that she is an oracle of some kind. We are going to have a little bit of Kelly oracle segments in this podcast, fair warning. I've been in the coaching space for about 20 years. I actually started out as a geologist of all things. I know it's a little bit of a plot twist, but I was really into the environment as a very young kid, always felt very connected to the outdoors and nature, still do. Nature is a place where I find a lot of comfort and where I feel really, really connected to source, to energy, and it's where I find peace. I grew up in the 80s and 90s, and it was a big deal back then. The environmental movement was really powerful, and there was a lot of people getting into the environmental sciences, and we were really curious about global warming and climate change and all of that. Now it's sort of a given, but back then it was more of something that people were studying and being really active in. And so I decided to major in geology because I really wanted to understand the earth and the earth systems. And in hindsight, I can see now that I had a very holistic perspective in everything that I do because geology integrates all of the sciences like chemistry, biology, physics, astronomy, etc. You kind of got to know all the things to put the story together. I spent a lot of time really obsessing and learning about our planet and the systems that we live in and putting the pieces together. And I absolutely loved it. I was a bit of a history buff as well. And I had this fantasy that I was going to be this really cool environmental attorney one day. I was very inspired by the likes of Aaron Brockovich. And if you were around in the 90s, you remember there was a lot of cool legal movies and books that were coming out, like the Pelican Brief and all that kind of cool stuff was happening. I was very enamored with fighting for the underdog and being an attorney. I ended up going out to the state of Washington and got my master's in geology from Western Washington University in Bellingham. And during that cross-country road trip was the first time I really started to see industrial agriculture and where our food came from in the U.S. And because I came from humble beginnings, I really didn't understand a lot of this, and I really hadn't ever been on many trips outside of my home state of New York. This was really eye-opening to me. And by the time I made it to Bellingham, I was a devout vegan. I didn't want to have any animal products in my life, and I really wanted to start to eat a plant-based diet. Well, I didn't know how to eat. And friends, this was a pre-smartphone, pre-ChatGPT. Google was just like hitting the surface. This was back when Google still had their I'm feeling lucky button. And this was back when people still read books and still tried to research things and look things up. I thought I could figure it out. I thought it'd be really easy, like, hey, just eat a lot of vegetables. Well, it turns out I felt like crap. I had no idea how to eat, and I wasn't feeling great. And by the time that summer came around and I had to go live in the woods for a bit to do my geology research in South Lake Tahoe, I was really struggling. And I walked into a co-op or a natural food store or something like that at the time, and I came across a book called Becoming Vegetarian, and it changed my life. I still think about writing the authors, if they're still alive, a letter, because it literally changed my life. And I was completely enamored with this book and dove into it and started studying food. And my mind was blown. you know, like we are what we eat. Food is medicine. We can heal through food, like food combining, what? Like this was all news to me and it was pretty exciting. And so I had just started my master's in geology, but man, I knew in my heart that I wanted to get into food education and I wanted to help other people learn how to eat because I didn't know how to eat. And if I didn't know how to eat, then other people probably didn't know how to eat. So I just started studying nutrition on my own and really got into holistic health and really looking at it from the mind, body, spirit connection. I was, you know, really into Ayurveda and the likes of that. I finished my master's in geology and 9/11 happened my first year of grad school. And I say that to say because the landscape changed quite a bit when it came to the environmental sciences. A lot of the resources and money that we once had to study, you know, the environment and climate change then shifted to more of what was going on overseas. And science money was just being used in a different way. And so things kind of shifted. And as somebody who was more into environmentalism and the outdoors, was kind of like, oh man, what are we going to do now? I knew that I didn't want to get into certain areas of geology that didn't really interest me. I was really hung up on the climate and the environmental stuff. But I finished my degree and I ended up, you know, going to Alaska for a bit, actually worked in Denali National Park, had my quarter life crisis, decided to head back to upstate New York and figure out what I wanted to do next. And all the while, I was still very much interested in nutrition and fitness. I got my personal training certification and just health in general. I was just very much invested in wellness. I decided to move to New York City and enroll in the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. And that was really where I started my coaching career because part of the certification was to become a holistic health coach. And that was something I was really passionate about, was I wanted to help others feel well and understand how we were relating to our bodies and our overall health. And while I was there, my world continued to blow open because I started to learn that through the healing and our relationship with food, I had some work to do. You know, I had some work to do based on the family dynamic that I grew up in and the trauma that I experienced as a kid and just general life stuff really started presenting itself to me. And I knew that I had some inner work to do. And not only that, every client that I worked with as a health coach would always complain about their jobs and always complain about work. And because I was insulated a bit at the time with primarily academia, I was thinking, man, there must be some kind of epidemic on our hands. Like, what is going on? Everybody doesn't like where they work. And what is going on with leadership in this country? So I started taking a few business classes. I started really looking into personal development, you know, mindset, everything like that, because it was just so fascinating to me to just see time and time again how people's mindsets and their beliefs and what they were thinking about really caused, you know, situations in their life. It was the lens of which they looked through that resulted in the things that they were experiencing. And so with that, I was also doing my own unpacking. I was helping others and learning simultaneously, which is kind of classic when you're a seeker and you get into supporting others and coaching others too. And one day I found myself in a seminar and I met a woman who worked for a company that was looking to hire some coaches for their dental consulting company. And I was at a crossroads in my life, not knowing what I wanted to do next, if I wanted to stay in New York, if I wanted to continue doing holistic health coaching, because honestly, it was kind of a struggle. A lot of people that I was working with for clients really just wanted to lose weight. And I wanted to help them get to the root of some of the issues that they were dealing with. And again, it just, everything that I sort of look at has this holistic lens. You know, I'm always looking at the systems that we live in and the systems that create what we're experiencing, because it's not any one thing. We always want to get to like the cause and the matter and the root issue and like, hey, why is this going on? Why do we feel the way that we feel? How is this happening? That's really my jam. That's what I'm really passionate about. And so it was difficult. And I knew that, you know, long term, being a holistic health coach probably wasn't too sustainable because most people didn't want to do the work at that time. You know, most people were really looking for the quick fix and just wanted to like lose weight, or they just wanted something quick to help them feel better. And that wasn't really the approach that I was going for. So when I met this woman, I did end up applying to work at this dental consulting company. And long story short, obviously, I got the position and I eventually moved my way up in this company. And that began my world in dental. And so dental kind of picked me. I didn't expect to really fall into it, but I did. And I really got to see a lot of what was going on behind the scenes, you know. And again, it was another opportunity to really look at the greater system. You know, the clients that I was working with were coming because they wanted to improve, you know, they wanted to improve their practices. Yeah, they wanted to make some more money, but they wanted some efficiency. And ultimately, they wanted to feel better. I was noticing that people were really successful looking on the outside. A lot of the folks that I was working with, by all intents and purposes, would be somebody we would call successful. But behind closed doors, when I was meeting with them on Skype, we were using Skype back then, they were suffering. You know, a lot of the men were feeling pretty resentful, you know, that they were working really, really hard and not able to enjoy the fruits of their labor. And a lot of the women that I worked with were tired, they were exhausted, they were sad. You know, they had a lot of grief that they weren't able, that they did all this work and they didn't get the promise that they thought they'd have, right? And they really had mom guilt, parent guilt, partner guilt. You know, they felt like they were being called a jerk all the time. And, you know, how can you be powerful and strong and people still like you? And there were just so many layers to it. And I also got to see that a lot of the team members were struggling because there was always these gaps in communication. And so I really was able to master the translation between leadership and the team level and be able to really explain to them what was happening at the leadership level and why the team should care. And so I noticed these gaps in communication and perception. And I also noticed that consulting was a little bit short-lived if the people that were implementing the systems weren't feeling whole, if they weren't in a good place, that they weren't going to be able to sustain the results. They could have a quick fix, but long-term, it just wasn't going to work out. And so I wanted to shift the conversation and I wanted to shift the dialogue. And that's when I eventually parted ways. And shortly after that, started my own company called Courage and Joy at Work. And I called it Courage and Joy at Work because I was recognizing the amount of courage it took for people to actually step into the arena of personal development and leadership development. Because it's much easier to try to apply a system to something or like a protocol or a consulting program and just say, here, go do all these things and this will fix it. And the quick fixes, they do work, but they only work for a short period of time. And if you're really looking for that sustainability, if you're really looking at that holistic approach, it takes a certain level of courage. And on the other side of that is experiencing joy, is experiencing the joy that we all seek and that we're all looking for with when we sign up for things, when we do things. You know, there's something on the other side of that that we want. And typically it's experiencing joy. And are we joyful all the time? No, but there's fleeting moments of joy. And can we even access that, right? So that's something that I'm really committed to. And then over time, as being a woman in the industry and just being a woman in this world, I became really increasingly passionate about wanting to launch a program that specializes in women's empowerment and women's leadership. And it's not just leading in business, it's also leading in life. Because if you can't lead your life, you're ultimately not going to be able to lead in business. So then I launched the Empowered Leadership Experience for Women in Dental that really focuses on, again, the holistic approach to women's leadership in the industry. And it's an all-encompassing program that goes over 6 months, and it really dives into all aspects of the foundational pieces that really make that everlasting, sustainable change. Because again, we can apply all kinds of cool stuff later. Like we can do the interior design work on a house all day long, but if it's not built on a solid foundation, it's not going to be sustainable. So we talk about things like beliefs, we talk about values, you know, we talk about creating goals that really align with your soul and not goals that everyone else thinks you should be doing. It's goals that really work for you. And we also talk about self-care. We talk about balancing masculine and feminine energy because we all have it. And sometimes we act in excess of one or the other, and that can have consequences as well. And the self-care is really critical because a lot of times we'll do something, but again, in order for it to be sustainable, we need systems in place to help it to keep going. So we have community built in and we have all kinds of support so that these results can continue on in somebody's life. And so that's what I'm really committed to on a professional level. Something else that's very important to me is my sobriety. So I'm also a sober person, and I do work the programs of Alcoholics Anonymous, Al-Anon, and ACE, which is Adult Children of Alcoholics and Dysfunctional Families. And I'm very committed to those three fellowships, and I have been for quite a while. And sobriety is just a really big part of my life. So what are you going to hear about in this podcast? Well, I want to get real with people because I've noticed time and time again in the dental space, there's so much going on the front end. There's so much when it comes to this reputation management and looking good and presenting well to the world. But behind closed doors, people are having very different conversations. I've noticed it not only in my coaching work with all of the clients that I work with, literally every one of them, but also colleagues, friends. You know, when I go to industry events, it's always one thing presented, one thing being talked about behind closed doors. And again, people are suffering. It's the same thing that I saw when I first started out in coaching. People are suffering, and they're suffering in silos, and they're suffering quietly, and they're suffering alone because they think they're the only ones dealing with this stuff. Yet I'm hearing the same things over and over again, or people are just kind of chatting in small pockets, afraid to speak up. And I want to start normalizing these conversations. I want to start bringing these conversations forward because, one, I know that when people start shedding light on something that is a community experience, it really starts to dissolve the shame. It starts to dissolve the pain that people are experiencing, and they can move through it more quickly. And they can also feel lighter because shame can really drag us down. Shame has us feeling alone and isolated and thinking that something's wrong with us or broken. Or it takes an enormous amount of energy and effort to hide those parts of ourselves. And then what that does is it limits us accessing our full potential and playing full out. And I'm a huge advocate for playing full out, accessing your full potential, and really experiencing that internal freedom, which to me results in peace and contentment. So that is what I want to do on this podcast. And I'm making it a goofy variety show because I also love comedy. I'm a huge fan of comedy. I love humor. I love to laugh at myself. I think it's hilarious. We're all on this human journey doing the best that we can. And without laughter, I feel like, I don't know, what's the point? And so I want to integrate some of that in. I'm also a huge music lover. I'm an animal lover. I just have all these different interests. And so why not bring this in and have a little fun? I think dentistry can be a little stiff. And so I want people to loosen up and enjoy themselves and have a good time while embracing what's happening in our industry. We're going to be having call-ins. So people are going to be calling in anonymously, and they're going to be sharing their thoughts and their opinions and questions that they have. And I'm going to do my best to find people in the industry that can come on and address some of these common questions and issues that people have. Or if I can answer them myself, happy to do so. And we're just going to work through it together. There's going to be Kelly the Oracle Hour. There's going to be noisemakers. There's going to be fun stuff. There's going to be all kinds of things that are going to be able to highlight the many aspects of us as human beings in the dental industry. So we're just getting started, and I'm really excited about this. I will be learning with you as I go because this is my first time doing a podcast, and I think it's going to be tons of fun. And so if you know anyone that you want to have on this podcast, please hit me up. You are going to be able to find all the information as far as the call-ins and where you can write and where you can share your thoughts with me on my website, therealtalkofdental.com. And I want you to get on there. I want you to share. I want you to be part of it. And I want you to contribute to this space because let's normalize the stuff that otherwise people are afraid to talk about. Before we go, I want to invite you to leave a question or comment using the link in the episode notes below. Questions or comments are anonymous and will be shared in an upcoming episode. I'll see you on the next episode of The Real Talk of Dental. You just listened to The Real Talk of Dental. If it hit, if it stung, if it made you feel just a little more human, good. That's the point. This isn't about fixing practices. It's about healing people. And if you're brave enough to show up real in this industry, you're my kind of leader. Subscribe, call in, send your wildest workplace confession. And most importantly, don't clean up for anyone. The mess, that's where the magic lives. We'll see you again on the next episode. You just listened to The Real Talk of Dental. If it hit, if it stung, if it made you feel just a little more human, good. That's the point. This isn't about fixing practices. It's about healing people. And if you're brave enough to show up real in this industry, you're my kind of leader. Subscribe, call in, send your wildest workplace confession. And most importantly, don't clean up for anyone. The mess, that's where the magic lives. We'll see you again on the next episode.